Well, like I mentioned, if you turn to Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd" is the title. And this last week, our kids, and like I mentioned, our kids, not just our church kids, but kids from all over the valley that came to our VBS this last year. It's just amazing. I think the parents love it because they know their kids are going to learn the Word of God. We do answers in Genesis. They also know that they're going to be safe here. There are some VBS that as soon as it's over, the kids just leave and the parents have to try and find them. We don't do that. You check them in, you check them out, because we love our kids and we want to keep them safe. So, as I mentioned, I was asked to teach on Psalms 23. There are six verses, so let's read those together again. Verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare us a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Back to verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In the scriptures, we as people have not been likened to strong lions or elephants, something mighty and fearful. I was watching this video on elephant, and he just took this tree and he kept hitting it. It was a massive tree, and he just uprooted it. We're not like an elephant. We're not that strong. But what does he call us? He likens us as sheep. They're not the smartest animals around. They would be on the bottom of the list, if you would. Because Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Sheep are clueless. They have been known to really wander off at times and just follow whoever's in front of them. And sometimes they get lost. They are defenseless. If they fall on their back, it's referred to as cast or cast down. And we are just like that so often. We can become cast down. And that is why the sheep need a shepherd, because they are in great danger when they're cast down. And the shepherd watches over them. That is why David, who was a good shepherd, watched his father's sheep at a young age. And it starts off with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Every single verse I could take a day or a couple weeks on. So I don't want you coming up to me afterwards and say, "Well, you should have said this." I know I should have said it, but my boss, Christy, told me to make it a half hour, and I'm here to please my boss, Jesus and Christy. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," or literally, "I shall not lack or want for nothing." We are so blessed and privileged to be referred to as the Lord's shepherds. Even though we go astray at times or follow dumb people who are walking over a cliff spiritually, how blessed we are to be able to be called God's shepherds, our shepherd sheep, because how he takes care of us spiritually. If you feel you're lacking something in your life, in your spiritual walk, let me ask you a question. Are you leaning on your shepherd and trusting for his guidance in your life? That is why in verse 2a it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep are known to eat anything and everything, good and bad. That's why the shepherd has to lead his sheep into green pastures, into healthy pastures, so that they will get the best food they possibly can. When a sheep eats good food, guess what? They are content. They will lay down. They will rest. So the shepherd will make sure for them to be able to lay down and rest in the fields, that they have the best food possibly for them to eat for where they're at. God wants you to have the best spiritual food for yourself as well. He wants us to take in spiritual food, spiritual healthy food. Too often you'll get a pastor up and he'll read two verses and then he talks all about it or makes a lot of jokes about it. That's not spiritual food. My wife was talking to a girlfriend of hers, and she Marcy, asked, how was church today? Oh, it was wonderful. He was so funny. We all laughed all the way through. And then Marcy said, what did you learn? And the gal stopped and paused and go, I don't think I learned anything from the Bible. And her eyes were opened because she finally realized she needed that spiritual food to keep her healthy, not to laugh, because after you laugh, the laughter's over and the same things flood back into the heart. When that sheep eats that good food, they're content, they lay down, they rest. And when we eat that good food, we are able to have that peace and that contentment in our lives because we sat down with the Lord and ate what he wants us to eat. You see, in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. Sheep will be restless if they don't and have not eaten healthy. So will we. We will be restless if we haven't eaten and taken the word of God into our lives. Let me ask you a question. Are you struggling with your relationship with Jesus? You don't have to answer to me, but to yourself. Are you struggling in your relationship with God? Are you restless? If you are, stop depending on people that could lead you over a cliff spiritually without you even knowing, and go back to that first love. Psalms 23, 3a says, he restores my love. So if you are not right with God, and you've asked him in your heart before, he will, and this means restoreth my love, literally means in the Greek, bring back to life. He'll bring you spiritually back to life. Our soul is made up of our minds, which would be our thoughts, and our emotions, our feelings. Our minds and our emotions, in and of themselves, being left alone, they can pull us in all kinds of ways that we shouldn't be going into. but God desires to restore them to what God intended them to be like, to be in love, and to have that fellowship that God has intended for us to have. Let's say your soul's hurting, and the people that you used to open up to, they're not there anymore to help you and to help listen to you. So you begin to hurt even more, but you have not talked with God about it. You know, Jesus said, according to his word, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God desires to have a communication with us. And a lot of people say, well, I'm just not good at praying. Can you talk? Because according to Daniel, when he was praying, he says, as I was praying and talking with the Lord, prayer is simply talking to God. But a good conversation consists of talking and then what? Listening. Do you just talk to God, but you don't listen? God, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. Help me, I need this. Okay, I'm running late to work. Check in later. And you never allow that time for God to speak to you. Our relationship should be something that we throughout the entire day include him in on it. I've shared this story before. I was working a side job in construction, and it was over in Hopeville. And we were remodeling the Ace Hardware store because they wanted to put the hardware store in there. And it had one of these iron, you know, gates that are crossed like this, then they slide on the rack. Four of us spent an hour, trying to get it to break loose. And the boss says, you know what? We could have bought a new one with all of our, this last hour of money made up. So let's get back to work. We'll just buy a new gate. And when he said that, everyone kind of took away but in their direction. And I just thought, I need to pray one more time. Because the Lord says, pray one more time. I said, well, my boss said not to. I got down on my knees and the rack was there. And I just said, Father, I love to brag on you, Daddy. Would you please make this gate slide? And I reached my hand up, and it just slid as if it was brand new. And I'm going back and forth. And the boss comes over and leans over my shoulder, and he goes, what did you do? I said, I prayed. And I kept going. He goes, well, then keep praying. And that night, he took me from a worker to a foreman. Just because I was able to do that. But more so, I gave all the glory to God. How can we give glory to God unless we're talking and listening to him? Because anything that happens after that, if we don't talk, oh, I did that. No, you want God to say in your heart, I did this for you. So you can share with other people. So we need to have our souls right with God, and that's by talking to him and listening to him. And then that hurt that we might be having in our life begins to go away. We don't have to depend on people anymore. We depend on the living God who knows everything about us. But you know what? When we, and fellowship is good, bear you one another burdens are good, but if that's what we're depending on, guess what? You share it, and people go, oh, well, I'll pray for you, and nothing changes because you're depending on those people instead of depending on Jesus. And Jesus wants to restore your relationship with him to where you have that intimate relationship with him. That's why he is our good shepherd, because he's always there for us. What did Jesus say? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus will be there for us. Now moving on in Psalms 23, verse 3, B and C, and it says this: he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I love it when God leads us in the path of righteousness. You know why? Because people see it and they go, what happened there? And guess what? You get to brag about your daddy again. Sheep are weird. Do you know that they will walk the same path day in and day out, day in and day out? They'll stay on that path and they'll go to that field even after they've eaten everything, because they find that comfort zone in going to that field. So that's why the Good Shepherd has to lead us. And he's going to lead us into green pastures, healthy places for us to be. We are that way at times, just like that sheep. I know I'm picking on them, but they're not the sharpest pencil in the pencil box. And neither are we. Because we will stay on the same path until it becomes a rut for us, and it becomes a comfort zone for us, even though it's leading us to pain and hurt. That's what we're used to. And we can get so comfortable in that routine that without us even knowing, we are excluding God and what he wants to do in our life. That's why he goes before you to lead you into maturity. Oh, it may stretch you sometimes, but know that he's gone before you. For an example, do you want to be stretched to be better for the Lord? See, that would be a good place. Amen, brother, preach it. That would be a good place to be in our lives, that we're stretched. I bet you Christy got stretched. She looks like she's 5 inches taller. But God did some miraculous things in her life, being the director. Next time they call for Sunday school helpers and you kind of feel that nudge, are you just going to sit there and say, well, or are you going to say, okay, God, I will do it this time. I will go out and help because there's a need. It was a blessing when we had those 20 citrus plants, and we had some people dig the holes ahead of time, and then we filled it in with this called carrot dirt, that when the carrots are harvested and they take it over to, I think it's Calipat, they shake and wash all the dirt off. That dirt is so full of nutrition that almost anything will grow in it. We had 20 trees planted. Then we had to dig one more hole. We had 19 planted. We had to dig one more hole. But we didn't have enough carrot dirt to fill that hole, so we mixed it. Filled it with sand, or filled it with water, and the dirt around it. And it ended up salt coming up. There wasn't enough carrot dirt in there. If you go through and look at all 19 over here, they may be different growth, but you can see new growth coming out of every single one of those. And to see you guys dig that little hole and plant that citrus tree in there, it just blessed me. I could just tell that God was just tickled pink. But you know what? They all had good food to eat. The one that didn't was right out here. And we had to water it and fill it with water, and then we would plant it on Monday or Tuesday, and I had the privilege of planting it. And it died. Because I planted it wrong? No. Because the salt that the other ones didn't have, it had. It didn't have the carrot dirt in there with all that nutrition and fertilizer in there. And it just couldn't stand up to it. I thought we lost them all because the wind was so strong right after we planted them. Man, it was like the last couple days, you know, that type of wind, but it was directly out of the west and it was a hot air. I thought for sure they'd all die. I would drive in, and I still do, and I look, and I would pray over each one and get down to the one I planted. I go, God, you can bring the dead back to life, please. Well, so far he hasn't, but I haven't pulled it yet. But God could bring the dead back to life, and I would like to see a miracle with that little citrus. Why? Because it's called a cutie. It's a cutie citrus, and I killed the cutie. Did I kill it, or did the soil kill it? The soil killed it, huh? It didn't have good pasture to set down itself in it. And so, did I get stretched? Yeah, I'm gonna get more stretched because I'm going to eventually dig that hole down by hand deeper, and I'm going to get a nice batch of carrot dirt, and I'll get a tree, and I'm going to plant it in there some time, because I want to see good pasture, good soil, and the blessings and the fruit that come from it. But I would love to see more fruit come from each and every one of us by allowing God to stretch us and moving forward in what God desires for us to have. Now I just looked up at the clock. I gotta put it in overdrive. In verse 4, literally it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Leading the sheep to green pastures, the shepherd sometimes has to lead them down some very dangerous paths to get to the next pasture that has beautiful green whatever in. Now, I personally took this video, and it was about locally here, a shepherd leading a flock. Not one of them wanted to be left behind, and they were going so fast that a couple of them fell off the edge. And the water's down there, this is in central Maine, just right out here in front. You know how they got out? They were stuck, and then a dog ran down behind them and nipped at them, and they would jump, and they would jump until he got them up off the bank onto the road again. Hey, if the Holy Spirit has to nip on you, invite him to keep doing it, because you're going to be on the path of righteousness. Can you run that from the very beginning? Look at how far out the shepherd is. This is truly false. Oh, it skipped a whole bunch. Okay, what it was, that's fine. What it was is that the shepherd was there. He was walking way out in front. There was a dog behind him, and they were just following. And then all of a sudden, they started walking fast like that. But I was just amazed. I put it on Instagram, and I said, this is how we play follow the leader down here in the valley. I don't have that many followers. I think I got 4 or 5. The staff. God wants to protect us. And what does he use? He uses a rod and a staff. The rod is to literally beat off the enemy. Remember when the lamb is cast down, he's on his back? We taught this in the drama, that the coyotes or the wolves would come, and if they were still on their back, they would start poking them and hitting them to get them off of their back. And if the wolf got too close, boy, he would go after that wolf and he would smack him. And so the rod was there to beat off the enemy. But the staff itself was a long part with a hook on the end, where it would hook around. And if a lamb was getting too far away, he'd hook him and bring him back up. He'd hook him and bring him back up. But there's some stubborn little lambs that will be wanderers. And if you really want to learn about sheep, I highly encourage you to read the book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. Phenomenal book. I loved every minute I read that book. The women went through it one time. It's just a great book. But one of the, because it's a shepherd that related to the 23rd Psalm and taught the 23rd Psalm as a shepherd. He said that sometimes when a lamb would wander and wander, a little one would just keep going and they couldn't get it to stop doing it, that they would take that staff, that hook, and break its leg. And you might think, oh, how cruel. No, saves its life. Because after he breaks his leg, he picks him up on his shoulders and he carries him until the leg is healed. And he talks to that lamb the whole way through. And when they put him back down on the ground and the leg is good, he wants to stay by the shepherd's voice, and he turns out not to be a wanderer. You know, the more we're in the Word of God and we hear God's voice, the more we want to be close to our shepherd and stay there. And we don't want him to break our legs, but he may have to get your attention. And so when he does, listen to his voice and you'll be blessed. Now, there's an interesting thing in verse 5a where it says, you preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It doesn't say you remove my enemies, but you preparest a table before my enemies. You may have enemies all week long pounding on you, condemning you, mocking you, lying about you. But you know, when you come to church and you eat of the feast prepared for you, you eat of the good ground, you have a good solid time of worship and in the Word of God, you'll remember how much God loves you and how much he forgives you of whatever's gone on in your life. And he'll restore you to shine for the kingdom of God in that next week and go out and fight the good fight. For Paul himself says, we labor, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. Our fighting is not the people. Our fighting is spiritual warfare. And when we're built up by the Lord, we are able to stand in victory. Now in verse 5b, it says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over." In the east, the shepherd would put oil in the ears and in the eyes of the lamb so the bugs and the ticks could not get in. And then he would pour oil on the head, so when he would have to butt heads with bigger sheep, it would just kind of slide off of his head. So for us, oil, according to the Word of God, represents the Holy Spirit. So what's bugging you today? What are you ticked off at? Somebody or something? Are you irritated? If so, does it manifest itself in butting heads against another brother or sister, or against your wife or your husband or your kids, or fellow workers or non-believers? Are you butting heads with them? I don't think we want to do that, because God wants us to shine and not to butt heads. If so, it sounds like you need another dose of the Holy Spirit. So how do you get another dose of the Holy Spirit? Didn't all come in the package? Salvation came in the package, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, you can have that more often. And so how do you get that? According to Luke, he simply says that God, hold on, I lost it. I have to grab it, it'll come back. According to Luke, the scripture tells us that you, being evil, know how to give good gifts. How much more the Father knows how to give good gifts. When he says evil, that doesn't mean you're an evil person. It means you compared to God. And I think we would all say, me being compared to this person, that person's evil, I'm all right. But when we look at God, he's perfect, and I've got an evil tendency in me. And so we don't want to have that in us. We want a dose of the Holy Spirit. So in verse 6, David ends the psalm that says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What did he say? Goodness and mercy. C.H. Spurgeon calls goodness and mercy God's footmen. Now you got to remember, in his day, and if you could have seen any of, you know, the old movies, you would see that there's times that a carriage, or, you know, it wouldn't be a stagecoach because it would have the cover not over it, but it would have two people behind it. So there's a driver, the passengers, and two people riding in the very back. They were called footmen. And their responsibility, you know, everyone understood their illustration in those days, but their responsibility was, when they got to their destination, the footmen would get off, they would look at the surroundings, they would look down at England. It rained a lot, and it was muddy streets a lot, and they would look down, and if it was muddy or dirty, they would take their jackets off, and then they would help them step down so they wouldn't stumble and fall, and they would walk on their jacket to the sidewalk that is dry. That was their job to do, goodness and mercy, and that's what God does for us. He watches over us. He brings us to the point to where he'll hold us and help us so we won't stumble. He will take care of our needs. He will provide a way that we don't have to step in the mud or in the dirt, because he loves us and he wants the very best for us and he'll take care of us. Those were what those journeymen would do, but notice what David said. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David didn't say, I hope I would dwell in the house of heaven forever. Why? Because he knew he would. Some people say, well, I hope I worked enough to get enough good stuff to get to heaven. I've had so many people tell me that. My good deeds are going to outweigh my bad deeds. No. The only way when you get to heaven, and if somebody asks you what guarantees you get to heaven, you say, Jesus, what guarantees is that Jesus died on the cross. He paid for my sins. He rose from the grave to prove it. And I trust in that. He is my Savior. He's washed away my sins. And because of that, I don't have to wonder. I don't have to hope. I know that I can go to heaven because of what Jesus has done. Dear friends, I hope you know that you're going to go to heaven. So therefore, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. I'm going to ask you to read an entire chapter. I'm a slow reader and it only took me about a minute and a half. 1 John chapter 1. The whole chapter, not very many verses. I want you to read that and look at the relationship that John had with the Lord so that you can have it too. And then I want you to come back next week and tell me how God spoke to you and how you now know for a fact that you're going to heaven. So that's your assignment. That's what we're going to do. And now we're going to close in prayer because I think I went over my half hour. Carrie didn't say amen, so I must be okay. Father, we want to thank you so much for being our good shepherd, for having the privilege of being called your sheep. It's true, we may be dumb and we need you to get us through. I thank you, Jesus, that you paid for all of our sins on the cross, proved that it worked by raising from the dead. And if you don't know Jesus, you pray this. Because of that, Jesus, I want to accept you as my Savior. And I also want to accept you as my Lord, as John was talking about. A lot of people play Christians, Father. I don't want to play the game. I want to live the reality. So I now belongs to you. And I now trust you for everything in my life, as you are my good shepherd, and I will follow you all the days of my life. And that guarantees I get to go to heaven. Father, for all of us, may we fall in love back to that first love that we had when we accepted you. and may we be restored completely in a relationship. And if we're in a rut, Father, help us get out of that rut and help us to live a life that's well-pleasing to you. In Jesus' name.